From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of the Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Some exercises are just hard work, and not very interesting work at that. Then there are etudes or studies. They're work too, but they're also music. They're pieces designed to help musicians correct certain problems, develop certain techniques, but they are intended to be listened to and appreciated as music, regardless of what performance problems they address. It's almost like practicing in public. Pianist Pierre-Laurent Aimard started to study piano early.
Five years old, like many others.
And he learned quickly that exercises were essential. And in a way, he spent at least some of his career studying studies. He'll play 24 etudes by various composers this Monday in a concert called Study of a Study.
An etude is a very convenient piece of music for dealing with a special instrumental problem. But of course, it's better when the composition is interesting and speaking to you.
Music with an eye toward practice and perfection goes back several hundred years. They may not have been called studies then, but pieces in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries were very often designed to teach something to the player. The Frenchman François Couperin wrote such pieces, with instructions about touch and technique attached. And some of the Bach so-called two-part inventions were composed as instruction manuals for Bach's son, Wilhelm Friedemann, to help him learn to play clearly in two voices. But everything changed in the 19th century when something resembling the modern piano started to emerge and new sounds and techniques were demanded of the player. The composer Clementi in the early part of the 19th century wrote volumes of music of this teaching type, with specific styles and techniques in mind. But it took a master to bring the form to mature life. The master was Chopin.
He's for me one of the prophets in music. He seems with his very pianistic movements to have created a kind of fluidity that is completely new.
Chopin's etudes were new technically and they were new musically.
For instance, the Opus 10, number 10, is one of my favorites.
It was written to master certain patterns, certain distances between notes, but the music completely takes over.
There is a grace there that is just impossible to describe. This poetic smile is for me a very special achievement.
Another Chopin etude was written to practice playing patterns of three notes called triplets. But one fellow composer, Schumann, heard it not as a study, but as the song of a sleeping child.
There is a kind of indecision in the right hand and a kind of floating relationship between both hands that makes that you have the feeling you could never catch the piece.
Liszt wrote bigger etudes than Chopin, and Schumann's symphonic etudes were a highlight of the 19th century, but the pianist Aimard sees the next big change as having been in the 20th, in the creative urgency around the time of the First World War, when composers like Debussy reinvented the form.
When the whole humanity seems to be suddenly in a kind of explosion of creativity in all possible fields and in all possible arts.
As the 19th century idea of the romantic virtuoso receded further from view, the etude had to adapt. It became something else again. Composers looked for new ways to test and challenge performers, not just their fingers and their technique, but their brain functions. The etudes written in the 1980s and 90s by the late Gerge Ligeti that Monsieur Aymar has recorded and plays so well, some of them require playing in three different rhythms at one time. It demands what he refers to as a kind of manual schizophrenia.
How could I say schizophrenia, very organized and controlled schizophrenia, so that each hand has a different way to lead the music?
He believes these Ligeti pieces revitalize the whole form and, in fact, the piano in general.
Some of them, you know, are so hard to play that you could say I love the challenge to play that, but I can't enjoy the piece all through like the audience does.
But Aymar does love the challenge, whether to hand or brain.
It's a permanent game with yourself. It's never easy, probably. It's like looking at your face in the mirror. It's every morning, maybe not easy, but you have to learn to live with yourself and to be your own critic and to be demanding with yourself. This is the only way, I think, to go forwards. But I think it's the way to make your life interesting and maybe even a bit better.
That's it. Etudes make a musician's life and an audience's interesting. They are the ultimate exercise in making something very hard sound nothing at all like work. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.